Welcome to Witness Radio broadcast program.
Why are you beating me? Why are you beating me? You are beating me because of the Chinese. Why are you beating me?
The East African crude oil pipeline, ECOP, is facing a financial hole. Numerous Western banks and insurers have already bailed out. Meanwhile, the construction of the pipeline is in full swing. The shareholders seem confident that they will be able to finance the project. Chinese banks in particular are coming into play. However, they are also taking their time. In this radio program, Witness Radio's partner Zudnot Funk, a community radio in Germany, spoke to Zaki Mamdo of Stop ECOP and Ryan Brightwell of BankTrack about the reasons for the delay and the question of how China can be stopped.
Welcome to Witness Radio broadcast program.
This long delay to actually getting the project financed, which this activist pressure has really helped bring about.
There needs to be immense loss and damage funding.
The East African crude oil pipeline is a highly controversial project, both socially and ecologically. That much is clear. But there are also risks from a financial perspective. Numerous banks and insurers have already pulled out of the financing. The largest infrastructure project in East Africa. Without financing, many Western banks have pulled out of the project, most recently the Japanese Banking Corporation and the Danish PKA. In the newspaper The East African, it says, on 17th June.
More than a year since Chinese financiers and the developers of the East African crude oil pipeline ECOP entered negotiations to bankroll the project's debt. A massive hole remains in the financing structure as the loans amounting to about $3 billion are not imminent, forcing shareholders into emergency measures to raise additional equity funding.
However, it is difficult to say exactly where the project stands financially. South African activist and coordinator of the Stop ECOP campaign, Zaki Mamdo, reports on this in an interview with Zudnot Funk.
Yeah, so it's difficult to say for sure where the project is at in terms of the amount of money it has raised in order to reach financial close and be fully developed. We know that the project in total costs roughly around it's a multi-billion-dollar project, which costs roughly around $5 billion. To date, we know that there has been financial backing for the project, not in any major way, but from small players, at least comparatively speaking. And that would be the Islamic Development Bank, as well as Afreximbank, who collectively have given a couple hundred million here and there to the project. Of course, there have been multiple occasions where Ugandan authorities, as well as other proponents of the project, but despite that, they have still not been able to realize financial close and have been unable to specify who those financial backers are.
The greatest hope lies with China, whose state-owned oil company, CNOOC, has shares in the pipeline. Negotiations are currently underway. In April, the Ugandan energy minister visited China. However, the protest was not long in coming.
Activists, community members, human rights, environmental and land defenders within the project's host countries of Uganda and Tanzania, but also more broadly, across the continent and across the globe, have taken to the streets to demand that China distance itself from the project and that it does not become the last resort for ECOP. So most recently, there was an action on the 27th of May where civil society groups in Uganda and Tanzania marched to the Chinese embassy in Kampala as well as the Chinese embassy in Dar es Salaam to hand over a letter of demands expressing their concerns as well as speaking to the grievances and the experiences of communities impacted by ECOP. And part of why they found it necessary to protest and to engage in peaceful demonstration is because for years they have made attempts to engage and to establish lines of communication and meaningful and constructive dialogue with the Chinese authorities, but have been, you know, have been met with closed doors and deaf ears. And so the core demands that were put forward on the 27th of May were that the Chinese government and its state-owned entities and corporations withhold support for the EACOP project, as well as its associated oil drilling projects, that they ensure that all outstanding human rights violations, compensation issues, and environmental harms are addressed, and that recourse is offered, and that should be offered according to international standards.
China has not yet given its approval. Whether the country will finance the project depends on the state credit company, according to Zaki Mamdu.
China, through its various state-owned entities, have been, you know, lead shareholders in the entirety of the project, including in the associated projects, especially the Kingfisher oil drilling site in Uganda. And what it's currently looking like, and at least what reports have indicated, is that Sinoshore is expected to make a public announcement in July around whether it will underwrite the project or not. So Sinoshore is the leading state-owned export and credit insurance corporation of China. And if Sinoshore provides the coverage and covers the risk for the project, then it is likely that the major Chinese state-owned financial institutions, the major banks, would throw their weight behind it as well. And so as it stands, there's no clear indication that they have done that and made that decision already. And I think there have been major delays in the decision on the part of the Chinese state-owned entities to back the project fully. And part of that is a result of the reputational, but also the financial risks involved in them supporting EACOP.
Ryan Brightwell from the NGO Bangchak also rates the attractiveness of the project as rather low. However, China is in a different starting position than other investors. Bangchak is also involved in the Stop EACOP campaign.
The analysis from Chinese banks may be different, given that Sinuk's involvement in the project as a Chinese state-owned oil company. So there's an element of perhaps, you know, interest from China in seeing this project go ahead. Also in terms of China's influence overseas, so that may make the calculation slightly different. But it's still a very risky project for Chinese banks, and they'll be well aware of those risks.
China, as a major lender for the EACOP, the country is known for subordinating human rights standards in the interest of profit. Nevertheless, Zaki Mamdu sees levers to stop China.
China, like the West in many ways, is not known for meaningfully and truly caring about the rights and the well-being of local communities on the African continent. And it's quite clear and evident in the case of EACOP, for example, that it is pursuing partnerships which stand to really significantly harm and damage and impact communities on the ground, but which also stand to further exploit and extract and indebt not just the host countries of Uganda and Tanzania, but the entire region, locking them into a very narrow fossil fuel growth oriented nexus. I do think, however, that there's a lot to be done, because China does characterize itself as a global force that is anti-imperial, that is decolonial, and which is interested in the development of Africa. And I think it's important that we continue to call them out where their footprint on the continent contradicts that self-characterization, really to embarrass them into submission and to expose to the African people, but also to African leaders, in essence, they are being taken for fools and will continue to be subjected to exploitative and extractive relationships. If they allow China in its current form as a sub-imperial force to pursue this sort of project on the continent. And so what needs to be done is for the mass escalation of the Stop ECOP movement on the African continent, and China needs to recognize that the African people are not blind to their intentions and are demanding that they realign their priorities or their projects and involvement and investment. They realign it with the developmental aspirations of our people and with the well-being of our people.
According to Zaki Mamdu, a massive expansion of the Stop ECOP movement is necessary. The movement has already existed for over 6 years. That speaks for its size and longevity. Ryan Brightwell believes there is still a chance of stopping the project.
I mean, I think if you'd asked me when we started getting involved in this, 6 years ago, where it would be now, I don't think I would have expected that we'd still be, that the project still wouldn't have reached financial close, and that there'd still be this sort of, this hugely long delay to actually getting the project financed, which this activist pressure has really helped bring about. So, I certainly think it's winnable. Whether that's likely or not, I can't say. And certainly, Total and the state in Uganda, they're are pushing ahead with it. It's a project that land is being cleared, pipeline has been purchased and delivered. So regardless of the fact that the money is not all there, the companies are proceeding, with a very dangerous plan. And so they're confident that they can get the job done.
In addition to the threat of reputational damage, the fact that the pipeline's shareholders are acting so confidently is certainly also due to the huge profits that beckon after completion. After all, future demand for crude oil is expected to peak by 2030. With these prospects, it seems difficult to stop profit-oriented companies from investing in oil. Are there any other ways to turn off the fossil fuel industry and thus ECOP? The World Climate Conference will take place in November this year. A reason for hope? Zaki Mamdu takes a critical view.
Look, I mean, it's hard to have any hope in the COP process. We know that it's, and we've seen it from the previous COP as well, that the fossil fuel lobby is incredibly strong in its participation at COP. And we know that leading politicians and world leaders are in the pockets of the fossil fuel industry. Look, my sense again here is that what needs to happen ahead of COP, as well as going into COP and at COP, as well as after COP, is that the global movement needs to escalate its fights, and it needs to become a movement which is simply unable to be ignored. My sense, is that at least in relation to ECOP and getting Chinese finance out of ECOP, would be that at this upcoming COP, there absolutely needs to be a firm and binding agreement for a full fossil fuel phase out. And there needs to be serious and urgent timelines set on this, and this phase out needs to be something that is completely mandatory, and that includes, of course, not being able to launch new fossil fuel ventures.
The South African activist goes even further.
But I think what's required beyond that is that there needs to be immense loss and damage funding, as well as reparations and debt cancellation, so that African countries do not need to rely on, you know, neither Western backing nor Chinese backing of fossil fuel projects in order to boost their own state coffers. And you know, through the, and not only to boost their state coffers, but to serve as debt. So it is through our movement taking up those demands and insisting that there must be restorative justice, reparations, debt cancellation, you know, that takes place and happens alongside agreements, binding agreements on a full fossil fuel phase out, you know, that it would place African countries in a position where they are able to say, well, we no longer need to develop through the extraction and export of raw materials, including fossil fuels, and would then be in a position to prioritize the realization of substantive freedoms, which should be used to measure development, substantive freedoms such as healthcare, education, shelter, access to adequate nutrition, energy access, etc., etc.
There is still a long way to go. The next step is to stop China. The coming weeks will show whether this can be achieved. What is clear, though, is that protest is still needed everywhere.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
For feedback or comments on our programs, please reach out to us on our email, radio@witnessradio.org, social media handles including Facebook at Witness Radio Uganda, and our Twitter or X page handle at Witness Radio, Instagram at Witness Radio Uganda, and LinkedIn Witness Radio. You can also send us a WhatsApp message on 0745 965 765.